So we're about to have our next speaker for this morning. Then we have another speaker after him. The next speaker coming is one of our bishops. He's well-traveled. You know the Kodesh? How many know the Kodesh? Yeah, the Kodesh is one of our flagship buildings. It was the headquarters of the church for many, many years before the prophet moved on to the First Love Church and then handed it over to others to pastor. He was the pastor of the Kodesh for some years before he moved on to international missions. Then he came back to join us here in Ashanti. And I'm very, very happy to introduce to you our next speaker. Also very prophetic. So as he is sharing the wisdom and the logic, he may, swing into it one of the prophetic words. Please welcome Bishop Eddie Fabian.
Oh, please show some love for Bishop Patrick. Hallelujah. How many were blessed by this session? I tell you, I didn't come in early, but the letter that I came to hear was such a blessing. And I believe that if this is what we are going to receive at this conference, then our lives will not be the same again. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to bless us. Amen. Please, let's share a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you so much. We thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is always there to teach us and to guide us into all truth. We pray for the understanding of loyalty to be with us. We pray that by the time this conference is over, may the understanding of loyalty be in us, and may we even desire to be loyal and have many loyal people around us. We thank you and we bless you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to add on to the little that Bishop Patrick has shared with us. And I believe that it's also going to make what we have heard even stronger and deeper. Amen. Amen. So if you have a copy of this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty, I'm preaching from this book, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of this book. And I trust that the books are available for us. Do we all have a copy? We do. Okay. They are also soft copies, so if you need it, I'm sure that can also be sorted out. But I love the books so that I can write down things and all that. So, but the books are available. Yes. So, I don't know. Can somebody get some for us just in case anybody wants to have a copy? You know, so that we can. But I believe that loyalty is very important, just as Bishop Patrick has said. And we are so grateful to God for the life of our father, Bishop Doug Ewart Mills. Hallelujah. Oh, this is your hand clap. It doesn't show that you are grateful at all. Wonderful. God bless you. I mean, this is one of the books that has affected many, 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 many lives and many churches. One pastor in the U.S., after reading the book, okay, you have copies of The Loyalty and His Loyalty. So we have it here. How much is it? 30. So if you need a copy, you can get one. Just wave, and I'm sure they'll bring it to somebody here. any other person who needs one, just wave your hand, and you get a copy. I'm sure after service, Bishop Patrick can sign it for you. Yeah, we don't have the prophet, but we have the bishop in the house, and he will sign it for you. So if you need a copy, just wave it. And I'm sure it will be good to go away from here with a copy of this book and other books, especially the entire Macarius Library, which is here. It will be good to have it. So that, how much is the Macarius going for? 800 cedis. 400 books. Wow. That means that each book is what? 8 cedis. Hey. Two children. Let's see. Wow. ACDs per. These books, I'm telling you, these are books that are loaded out of shepherding. Gift of Government is also in there. Oh, I think that this is. Yes, I'm sure there'll be a time to really go to. And it's beautifully packaged. You know, you have it in your home and you just pick out the books and soak them in. The Beauty, the Beast, and the Pastor is a book you must have. So you need to have the entire library. 100 books for 800 cedis, I think this one. It's less than, how many dollars? $100? Yes, it's less than $100. It's less than $100. Wow. Please, let's put our hands together. This can only be the work of a father who loves his children. But somebody went through the books and he said, man, God used you to write that book. God used you to write that book. And that book has blessed, this book has blessed many, many, many people. But, you know, we need to talk about it because we are naturally not loyal. We are prone to disloyalty. You know, the seed of the serpent is in us. You know, once you are born, you come into this world, the seed of the serpent is in you. And the serpent is one that is disloyal. He is not loyal. He fights authority. He rises up against anything that is good. And so that seed that is in us must be taken out. And the best way, the only way to do that is through the teachings. And that is why we must have such conferences. As we keep having it, we keep hearing, you become what you hear.
That's right.
And we tend to have many loyal people in the system. Today we have a lot of wishy-washy Christians who don't even understand what it means to be committed to a cause. Yeah. So if we don't rise up, wow, Bishop Kweku is in the house. What a blessing. Bishop Kweku, you're welcome.
You.
Good to see you. Oh, we thank God. Oh, this conference will be good. It will be very good. Please put your hands together. Hallelujah. So we have many wishy-washy Christians who are not committed to anything. The slightest thing, we are moving out. We are going away because the understanding of loyalty and being committed to a cause is not there. And so I just wanted us to talk about lessons on loyalty. Lessons on loyalty, because there are many things to learn if you're going to be loyal. And if you don't understand some of these things, you will not be able to be a loyal person. So there are 7 of them. I don't know how many we can touch on because of time. But whatever we are able to do, like Bishop Patrick said, just pick one thing and run with it. Maybe that's all God wants you to hear. So the first thing is that loyalty demands full persuasion. Loyalty demands full persuasion. I realize that anything you say you believe in is always tested. You cannot walk out. Anything you say you believe in is always tested. Even your marriage, it will be tested. You said you love your wife, you love your husband. It will be tested. That relationship will be tested. Don't think that you will just be there and everything will just be okay and we are happy going. No. Something will come to test to see whether you really believe what you are saying. And many times, a lot of people fail the test when the test comes. Because we are not deep. We are so shallow. We are shallow. We don't even believe the things we say. People speak in tongues. They don't even know what it means to speak in tongues. People are born again. They don't know what it means to be born again. And that's why you can be in church today. And the next time we see you, you are at another place. So being fully persuaded about loyalty is so, so, so important and very vital. And we need people who are fully persuaded. Otherwise, we are going nowhere. Yeah. You must be persuaded about the church. You must be persuaded. As you come, there will be things you will hear. People will say all sorts of things, and I'm sure if I should ask now whether you have heard things about the church, I'm sure you've heard a lot of things. But you must be persuaded so that it doesn't matter what you hear, you are not moved. You are there. And that's a loyal person. He's fully persuaded. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, can we have that scripture? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says something. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." So, first of all, before you were put in the ministry, you must be somebody who is counted faithful. It's a requirement. It's something which is needed. Before you can be in the ministry, if you are not faithful, there is no point in having you in the ministry. So Paul was counted faithful before he was put in the ministry. And then he went on to say in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. It's amazing that the scriptures, both of them are the same places. 1:12. It says that, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." That's what I'm saying. You will begin to go through some things, and it will test you to see whether you really believe what you are saying. He said he counted me faithful. Oh, Paul, you have been counted faithful. We are going to test it to see whether you are really faithful. And so he begins to say the things. He said, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Nevertheless, anytime you see nevertheless, it means he's not doing anything less. Nevertheless. Tell somebody, nevertheless. Don't do anything less. Keep doing what you are doing. Don't do anything less. So Paul said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For this is the reason. I know whom I have believed." Oh, I thought somebody was going to clap your hands. "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed." Do you know the person you believe in? Do you know Jesus Christ whom you believe in? Because Paul went through so many things. If he had not believed in Christ in a certain way, he would have just given up on the way. But he said, "I know whom I have believed in. I know this person. I know him." We must get to the point where we study the church, study the people, know the people that we are following, so that we are not easily moved by anything. Oh, yes. Yeah. In recent times, we had people just moving and saying all sorts of things about the church because they were not fully persuaded. So Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." I am what? Persuaded. You must be persuaded. That means that nothing can easily change your mind. I am persuaded. I am fully persuaded. So Bishop Dark says that to be loyal, you must be fully persuaded. There are many people who are not fully persuaded. There are many people who are not committed. And that's why in this church, sometimes we take our time to teach things. Yeah, 10 reasons why this, 20 reasons why you must pay your tithe, 150 reasons why you must be this, because we need you to be fully persuaded about it. By the end of the service, you cannot say that you are not persuaded. Yeah, yeah. When you read the book Mega Church, Bishop has points on commitment. And why you must be not a fair weather committed person, a fair weather Christian. You must be somebody who is maritally committed. Hey, And then he goes on to talk about things to do to have committed people in the church. Because it's very important. Very, very important. So you find that people are in the system, they are not fully persuaded. You see them walking around, but you'd be amazed at things that will move them. But I think that you should always keep this at the back of your mind, that there will always be something to test your faithfulness. There will always be something. Something will come up by all means to test it. So when the time of testing comes, we will know whether you are fully persuaded or not. Yeah, we will know. So you see that Bishop talks about, he said, if you are going to be loyal to me, you will have to be sure about me. Yeah. Am I someone you can trust? Am I somebody who is what he claims to be? He said, I once asked some pastors, what will make people stop talking about me? It is only when you stop the ministry. As for talking about you, people will still talk about you. And I'm sure many of us have heard many things about Bishop Dag. Right now, if you type Dag Ewart Mills on the internet, you'll be amazed the sort of things that will come up. And if you don't take care, if you are not fully persuaded, you will just, you know.
Quit.
Yeah. But sometimes that's the reason why you must even come a bit closer. Because some people are too far away. So you just move with the wind. Anything that comes, you are flowing. Shallow, shallow Christianity. Shallow. Too shallow. You are not deep. You don't even know what goes on in the church. And so people will say all sorts of things. And sometimes the enemy has a way of grabbing some people who are a bit closer and then use them. So when you hear them talking, it's like, oh, if this person is saying it, then it must be true. But you know, the devil, he will always give one truth, but 99 lies. So if you don't take care, you follow that one thing that he said, and then you before you realize, the 99 will just take you away. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So we need to be careful, and we need to be fully persuaded about what we believe. Now, Jesus Christ himself was also accused by people. Yeah. So if we are going to follow that, maybe all of us should stop following Jesus Christ. Jesus was accused in Luke 23 verse 2. When you read different versions of the Bible, the 20th century New Testament says that he was accused of misleading people. Misleading our people. And then the four Gospels also says that he was teaching our people sedition. And then the 20th century New Testament says that he was preventing them from paying taxes to the emperor. Jesus Christ. Abba. Then you don't know Jesus Christ. Was he not the one who called that they should go and pay tax for him and for Peter? So how come now you are saying that he's preventing people from paying taxes? But you see, that's how the devil operates. And then the New Testament in modern English says that he was telling them that it is wrong to pay taxes. The emphasized New Testament says that he was claiming to be an anointed king. You know, but he was an anointed king. You see, but the same thing can be twisted in a way and make the person look like. And that's how can sometimes maybe you are preaching about marriage and you are talking about something to do with polygamy, this, that, then they will pick one side of the thing and then they use it to generalize and say, he doesn't like marriage. But the same person has been married to his wife over 30 years. You don't look at that one. You are looking at this thing that was said and has been taken out of context. And you are saying that he doesn't like marriage. But that's it. The enemy will take one thing and then mix it with a lot of bad things. And before you realize, you are gone. In Luke 15, 11:15, Jesus was accused of being able to cast out devils because he is in league with Beelzebub, the chief of evil spirits. I mean, how can you be in the same team and then you'll be destroying yourself? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. No. So to say that he is in league with Beelzebub, you don't even know what you're saying. But you see, if you don't understand, you will think that, yeah, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So how can it be that they are fighting against each other? They are not. Paul was also accused. In Acts 24 verse 5, Paul was accused of being a source of mischief in the New Testament in modern speech. Modern speech. Yeah. Beckley version of the New Testament says that he was a veritable plague. Yeah. So it comes to this thing that, do you really know your pastor very well? 20th century New Testament says that he was a public pest. Pests. That means that we have to use a red cockroach killer insecticide to eliminate him. Hey! It's like this, the sort of person you are dealing with. He's a pest. Public pest. Very dangerous person. Hey! If you are not fully persuaded, such things, people have a way of putting words together. Word salad. And they put all things together. He is this, he is that. What's a public pest? Weymouth translation says that he is a disturber of the peace. The one who is bringing peace to the place, now he has become a disturber of the peace. Oh. 20th century New Testament says the one who stirs up disputes. New English Bible says a fomenter of discord. Then the King James Bible says that he's a ringleader of the sect. What a shock. It's so sad. You know, so if you are with Paul, you are with Apostle Paul, Reverend Dr. Paul, you must be somebody who is very persuaded. Because you'll be hearing these things. He's a pest. He's a disturber of peace. He is this. He is that. And if you don't take care, you will also be carried away. Yeah. It's sad. But in recent times, we've had all sorts of things going on and people writing all sorts of things. And people who have not been fully persuaded are just carried away. So sad. It's so sad. And that's why, pastors, we must teach this subject of loyalty. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking to somebody. Yeah. We must teach it and teach it to our church. Take this book and teach it inside out. Cover to cover. People need to hear. Because several times over. Thank you, Bishop Kweku. Because I'm telling you, people, the enemy is whispering things to people. And you'll be sitting there and your church will be getting finished. Yeah, Facebook is talking to them. Twitter is talking to them. Instagram is talking to them. YouTube is talking to them. And voices are speaking to them. And people are on YouTube and other things and showing us, so redescribing even loyalty. They redescribe loyalty. And they go and bring a dog and come and do things and make it look like some. Meanwhile, this is the same thing that is building the church. This is the same thing that has given us over 4,000 churches in this ministry. And I tell you, if you are also going to apply it, you are going to have many churches. Oh, I thought you were going to put your hands together. Yeah. Yeah. If you are following a pastor or somebody, be fully persuaded. Because as for the things, you will hear it. You will hear it. One day, we're just talking to a pastor. He was just saying something. He said, he was saying something. He had actually told somebody. We're asking him that, do you believe these things? He said, me, I don't even believe it. Said, but you are going around telling people about it. How can you tell us that you don't believe it? But these are the people we have. Where are we? Oh, yeah. And sometimes they say things like, there's no smoke without fire. Ah. Is it every smoke that is with fire? Don't you sometimes sit in your house, then you see some smoke coming from somewhere into your house? Does that mean there's fire in your house? Eh? Wee biz. Wee smoke. Ah, you are sitting in your house and the smoke is coming from somewhere. There's fire in the house, but there's no fire here. There's even smoke here. Does that mean there's fire? Oh. But you see, some of these phrases, nice sounding, there's no smoke without fire. There is whatever, it's like some very wild saying. But it's not true. It's not true. Then say, ah, it's true. There's no smoke. So as we are reading these things, there must be some fire somewhere. It's not true. It's not true. So we have to be careful of some of these things that we see, some of these things that we hear, and people say. What a shock. Now, all pastors will be accused. All pastors will be accused. Yeah. It's something that is there. Once you're a pastor, if it's me, I don't want anybody, I will be very whatever. No, it doesn't matter what you do, you'll be accused. They'll call you a thief. They'll say you are stealing the money, you are taking the offering, you are doing this, so many things. You are sleeping with the girls, that's one. So the pastor is your boyfriend, that girl. Like, it's so many things. People accuse you of all sorts of things, you know. So we must know that these are things that will be there. The enemy will be there to accuse. But I believe that God is going to give us the victory. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Paul said, I'm fully persuaded. Amen. And if you are in the ministry and you have a lot of questions on your mind, and you are not sure about the ministry, better leave. Instead of being around and having questions on your mind, Bishop Dag always says that every question has an answer. One brother left the church for a long time. So one day, Bishop met him and he said, even you, I don't even know why you left. Why did you leave? Because he sent a message, one line, I've resigned from your organization. So he met him later and he said, so why did you leave? I don't even know. I don't understand. He didn't give any explanation. You just wrote one line, I've resigned. And the guy said, oh, he had this question on his mind, and he was having this question, and this was on his mind. I said, so why did you just ask? Ask. There's an answer. There's an answer. And you'll be shocked when you hear some of the answers. It's like, wow. But it's because you didn't ask. You've gone away with a certain mind, and the enemy will also feed you with a whole lot of things. So sometimes as pastors, there are things we also need to do so that it will reduce some of these things. And number one is openness. Openness, it brings full persuasion if you are open. You need to be open sometimes. I mean, because people also can take their own decisions and think about, imagine a whole lot of things. So be open about your finances. Where are you getting this money from? Because we are all there. We can have an idea of how much you are earning. But, I mean, today you are driving this, tomorrow that. So many things. And then you keep saying that, oh, God is blessing us. And God is moving in mysterious ways. Yeah, we know God moves in mysterious ways. But how is God moving in those mysterious ways? We want to know. Share your testimony. Just last Sunday, I was with a brother, and I knew that this thing. I mean, I was with him, and I called somebody I knew, a lady somewhere. And as I was talking, he couldn't hear what we were saying. So, but what came out of the conversation, at the end of the day, as I finished praying with the lady and all that, then she said, wow. He said, Bishop, you are in the spirit. That's what the lady told me. I said, what is it? He said, this year the Lord placed on my heart to bless 5 pastors, sow a seed, powerful seed in their lives. I said, wow, keep talking. It sounds nice already. And he said, so last month, and he didn't mention the pastor. I said, well, he said, pastor, but he said, you are the second person who has called me. Yeah. And he said, I'm not going to disclose the amount, but I just want you to know that this is something that the Lord, and I'm going to obey and do it. So as we were sitting in the car, I just turned to the brother. I said, can you imagine what I'm hearing now? I just told him. So that one day, I don't know what it will be, but if he comes and he says, hey, pastor, you are chopping the church money or something. Then you remember that I told you that there was somebody who said the Lord has laid on her heart to bless me. So you are open about your finances. Yeah. But you leave the people to imagine. Where is this one coming from? Hey, is it our tithe that they are using this way? God is wonderful. He moves in mysterious ways. Oh, wow. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God is blessing us. A lot of prophets. And you know how some people to talk, they never say the thing. So I met this brother, and this brother said to this brother, and they all decided that we are going to do this. And so when we went to do that thing and we came back, hey, my brother, what are you saying? It's too mysterious. We want to understand what exactly it is. Number two, you must also be open about your vision. What is your vision? What do you hope to do? Where are you leading the church to? So that the people will understand what we are trying to achieve. If you are trying to build a 1,000-member church, let it be plain. The Bible says that write the vision. Habakkuk 2. Make it plain that they that read it will run. But if you don't make it plain, we will not know. And we'll be standing there watching you. And it looks like we are not faithful, but we are faithful. But we are confused. We don't know what you are doing. One day I heard Bishop said, he said he was in a car with another brother. And we were driving in a certain country. And as the guy was driving, when he moves, he gets to, then he stop. Then he move. Say, what is wrong with this guy? And then he will move this way. And then move. Then he will slow down. And there are cars behind them. He's supposed to be moving fast. He's just slowing down. He'll turn. Hoo, hoo. So at a point, then he just stopped. Kill. It's a vision, I'm telling you. And the guy opened the door and got down and ran to the back. So he said, what is wrong with this guy? Is he mad? You are in the car. You don't even say anything. You just move and then you park and then you get down and run back. So he said he turned and he saw the guy run back and pick something from the floor. And the guy came back into the car and sat down. So he was confused, looking at the guy. What is wrong? What's the problem? He said, oh, I saw some money on the floor. He said, anytime he drives on that road, he finds money on the ground. So anytime he gets there, he has to look for the money. Now, if you have such a vision, share the vision so that all of us will be looking for the money with you. Yeah. It's only him. By the way, he said he told him that he will share the money. He will give him some of the money. But if you have a vision like that, share it so that all of us will understand your vision. Yeah. I can even tell you, look on the right. Me too, I'll look on the left. So that we can find the money together and enjoy the money. But you have kept the vision to yourself and you are moving. Many years ago, I used to be on campus UST. My roommate came to tell me a funny story. He said he was in one of these buses, small buses that they go to Accra, very fast, whatever. And I think on the way, the guy, something happened, the car broke down, so he parked. And he got down. He didn't say anything to the passengers. And he went in front of the car. And he was fixing something. So people were wondering. They were sitting there for some time. Okay. So somebody said, the driver. BBC, I catch you here. If there is a problem, tell us. Why is it that you are alone? You are standing there. Then they said, somebody said, so people too can talk. And said, so the guy turned, he said, Majim, it's a fancy man, Majim, I'm going to conquer. Those who understand, understand. But you see, when you don't tell us your vision, it's like a fool who is just moving out. We don't even know what you are doing. Yeah, people will say anything to you and you'll be angry, but it's not that. You have to be open about your vision. Are you there who decided to go back home? Yeah. He said, I recall one pastor who was committing so many misdeeds that he had to be corrected and even suspended. You know, and to preserve this pastor's ministry, I kept the details very private. And the congregation even thought his suspension was a vacation. So, you see, there are also things that sometimes you may have to say. You know, because these same people can turn around and they begin to say things. That's what is happening. I mean, recently we met with somebody who thought that a brother who had left the church, what he was saying is he agrees with the person and all that. So we sat down and we started telling him about this person and some of the things, the facts, and what has been done for this person even in all his foolishness. What has been done for him? Then he sat there. He was just shocked. But it's like, this has not been said. So you may think that. And sometimes, this is not everything we want to say. You know, but sometimes we are forced to say some things because the way the thing is going, if we don't, the person will now turn around and make you look like a bad person. Yeah. You are sleeping with the sisters in the church. You are doing this. Nobody has said anything. But then you go and then you start pointing fingers and start saying things about the head. Hey. So, and we need to understand Matthew 12:30. The Bible says that he that is not with me is against me. Yeah. We need to get that at the back of our mind so that it will help you. I like the way the Message Bible puts it because it makes it so clear that this thing, the person is not with you at all. Do you have a Message Bible? Put it there. It said, this is war. This is war. We must get to the point of realizing that when it comes to people who are not with you, it is war. Don't joke around with it. It is war. This is war, and there is no neutral ground. Nobody can say, I'm in the middle. If you are for me, you are for me. If you are not for me, you are not for me. But the people who say, we are just coolly here. We are not part of it. We don't know. Observers. We are just observing one or two. No. If you are not with us, you are not with us. Yeah. And we must know where you stand. Yeah. If I'm going to be open about what I believe and everything, I'm expecting that you will also be open. And let me know where you stand. Because the thing, it is war. Tell somebody it is war. Loyalty is a war. If you don't have that mind, you will die quickly. There's no neutral ground. You can't stand and say, no. We want to know, are you for this or you are for this? That's all. If you are not on my side, you are the enemy. Yeah. We are not going to mince words about it. Oh, you look like the enemy. Or you are the enemy. You are the enemy. You are the enemy. So for those of you that we can't tell where you are standing, you better watch it because you are the enemy. We don't know where you stand. Are you for us or you are against us? You are the enemy. And we are afraid of you. Yeah. Sometimes you go on Facebook and go and support somebody there. And when a person writes, you also comment something. Then, when we are here, you come here and come here. So where are you? Oh, as for me, I'm a very cool person. I just, no. You are the enemy. And if you are not helping, you are making things worse. You are making things worse. Hey, ask your neighbor, are you fully persuaded? The way things are going, I'm beginning to wonder whether you are fully persuaded. Yeah. When there's a crisis, we are not expecting you to be neutral. We are expecting you to be on the side of the church. Otherwise, so sometimes look at, watch out for those people that you can't tell where they stand. Yeah. And it's like, we have nothing to say. We don't have anything to say. Wow. Lesson number two. I told you, maybe just one thing you need to hear may be enough. Your loyalty must be to the higher authority. That's one. Yeah. In a large organization like the church, there will always be a number of different authorities, and you will have to submit to. Obviously, some of them will have a higher rank than others. The lesson here is, if the question of loyalty arises, your loyalty must go to the higher authority. That's all. It's beautiful. You don't have to argue about it or whatever. That's it. Who is the highest authority or the higher one as you are dealing with? You are in a branch. The branch pastor is having ideas. And he keeps saying things about the church and this and that. Hey! Are you going to follow him? Or you're going to stay? Yeah. And you will have that. And if you're also a branch pastor, be careful. Because you were put there by somebody. You shouldn't behave as if you came on your own. That's why Paul said that, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. So immediately I stopped following Christ, stop following me. That was what Paul was saying. And he had put himself in a certain this thing that he will just follow Christ, because he has said that when he starts following Christ, nobody should follow him. Yeah. I'm here because of Bishop Dagwood Mills. He put me here. Yeah. I used to pastor a church in Abeka in Accra. He put me there. He said, I want you to pastor this church. Later he called me. I want you to come to where I am. Come and be with me. He put me there. I cannot stand and start saying things that, no. Everywhere I've been, he's been the one. He sent me to Lagos. He said, go there. I said, okay. As I'm there, he's the one. He sent me to Freetown in Sierra Leone. I said, yes. And my duty is to point the people to the high authority. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when you have people who are not pointing the people to the higher authority, be careful. And it must be something you must do. It should come to you naturally. You shouldn't struggle with it. If you are struggling with it, then there's a problem. I said, what? There is a what? Problem. There's a problem. Why are you struggling to introduce the people to the senior pastor? That you find people struggle with it. You are not loyal. Yeah. You are not. You are not. And the church members must understand that you are not the main person. In our church, we have different levels. We have the member, common member, we have the shepherd, we have the basenta leaders, we have, and it goes high up. And then when it gets to the pastor also has a bishop over him, sometimes a diocesan pastor before the bishop of the council. And the bishop also has another council over him. You have the denominational council. We also have the executive council. We have different things. So you can't just get up and just do something on your own. You must respect that which is there. Yeah. Who must I follow? Follow the one who is following the leader. Yeah. Many times people use the story of Jim Jones, that he gave cyanide to the people. He told them, we are all going to heaven. Let's all drink cyanide then.
Look at this nonsense.
Look at this nonsense. Foolishness at the highest degree.
So he compares.
They are not following Christ. And you wonder, people themselves, what they are even reading. See, but that's what it is. If you don't take care, people can poison the people so much that they will not follow the leader. One time, one of our bishops went to one of our branches. When he went there, the pastor had told all the ushers that when he comes, they should sack him. They should. Yeah. Bishop Saki, he went to the pastor of the church, told the ushers that when he comes, sack him. Don't let him enter. And ushers, foolish ushers. They are mobile. And they have been told these things, and they are also following. It's sad. Yeah. Hey. That's why sometimes people are moved from one place to another, because sometimes people also start having a certain mind that, oh, this is the owner of the church. You're not the owner of the church. Hey, you're wild. Yeah. So you must be loyal to the one who has sent you. Don't just follow anybody. People will come with nice sounding things. Absalom was one of those people. Absalom. 2 Samuel, can we read that scripture? I think I would love to read that. Thank you, Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Even though he was a son of David, it didn't mean anything. The loyalty must still go to David. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city are you from?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." They are even saying, "Your servant," that you two are receiving it. Yeah. See, some of the people, they are calling you Papa, Apostle, Papa, Apostle. You have not started any church. You have not planted anything. You are receiving the accolades. "Thy servant is one of the," they say. And Absalom said unto him, "See, your matters are good, oh, and right. But there's no man deputed of the king to hear you." This one sounds, and they have a way of talking nicely, and they win the people over. We have to be careful of such people. He said, Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land." Now you can see the person's mind. It's not that he cares about you. He wants to be the one who is in charge. He wants to be the one in control. He wants to move the one who is there so that he will be there. And he's trying to win people over. He said, "If I were to be the pastor, if I were to be the one here, how can you talk like that?" He said, "Every man which has a case, oh, I will do him justice. I will do him justice." Charlie, would you like to vote for such a person? I will fight for the masses. But this is our pastor. You see, when you hear such things, certain things must begin to, antennas must start going up. Zzz, hey, this thing, I must be careful. But you have people like that, and they talk in that way. And they say things. And the way they will say it, hey, you will believe him. Very sweet. He said, "If I'm here, this is your matter, it will not be a problem." Sometimes assistant pastors, if you're an assistant pastor, you have to be careful about some of these things. Because they are very subtle. It's like you're saying something, but you're not saying it. You see, and you are coolly trying to take the place. And sometimes the assistant pastor tends to be nicer than the main pastor. Yeah, because it's like the main pastor is very wild, trying to build the church, and he's doing things, facing. But the assistant pastor is the cool one who is just in the background, and, oh, you know our man. You know, sometimes when he's angry, he does things, and then so he's the one that everybody likes. He has less pressure. He doesn't know. So this our pastor is always looking angry. Anytime we see him, he has this bonio face, wicked face. We don't even know what is wrong with him. But you are a very cool, nice gentleman. And when you come, you're preaching, your messages are more prophetic and you are blowing wind and things, because you don't even have any bills you are paying. You don't even know. You don't know what is going on. So you just come and blow and the people, they like you. It's like, you are the nice guy. You are the prophet in town. Say, when the main pastor is here, when he preaches, we are annoyed. We are annoyed. But when this assistant pastor is preaching, there's joy. He doesn't pay bills. He's not having projects, 52 projects that he's overseas. So he doesn't know what is going on. He's coolie in the church. No pressure on him. He doesn't go for executive council meeting where he's faced. So he's just there coolie, enjoying the things in the church. And then he will take the people. By the time the pastor has gone on some vacation and come back, 3,000, only 19 people are left. 3,000 to 19. It's not good. Left the church for you small, you have carried everybody away. Within 6 weeks. He said, I will do you justice. Verse 5. Look at that. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. It's a very wild guy, Pa. If you have an Absalom in your church, pray about it. Pray about it. And then, on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men. Within the 6 weeks that the pastor went away.
6 weeks holiday.
6 weeks holidays. The guy stole their hearts. Worked into their hearts. You have to be careful. So that's why we have to teach. We need such conferences. We need to have such conferences. Oh, yeah. If you are not happy about it, you may be one of the people that we are talking about. If you are clapping, clap. Yeah. He stole the hearts of the people. But it should not be that when the church is left with you, by the time the pastor comes, the people are even happy to see the pastor back. They are longing. Pastor, we have been waiting for you. The pastor should be happy to preach. As he's preaching, people are bored and annoyed. Annoyed. And they are looking at him with a certain. Hey. Lesson number 3. A loyal person does not withhold information. I think my time. Yeah. Almost. Okay, let's just add one more. We cannot do everything. That's why we have the book. Get a copy of the book. A book is a patient teacher. It will teach you slowly and patiently. Better than anybody. What I'm doing, I'm just also just opening the book. Open to. So a loyal person does not withhold information. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is commonly reported that there is fornication. Hey! Commonly reported. No, because it's not easy to see a penis entering a vagina. It's not easy. Or do you think you will easily see penis entering vagina? No. If somebody doesn't come to report it, we would not know. You may have some idea, whatever, but to see the thing happening, it's rare. That's why when those people came to report that woman to Jesus, they said, we saw. I was wondering, where were they? Yeah. They said, we saw it with our own eyes. Say, hey, you guys are wild. But people came to report. And we need it. It's a holy, holy type of gossiping. Yeah, there are some gossiping, correct gossiping. Because we need to hear, how would Paul know that people are fornicating in the church? Somebody must come and say, I saw this brother entering the room. So there are some things you need to bring it up. You know, this person I was telling you about that he said he doesn't believe in it. He went to tell somebody about the thing. Now, I don't know who else he has spoken to. But this guy, when he heard the thing, he said, no, this matter is too heavy for me. I cannot keep it to myself. I have to mention it. You know. And then somebody will just see around coolly, nicely. He's like a very nice guy. But I tell you, he's a very wild guy. I mean, even the words. Sometimes people use words and you wonder that, hey, are you capable of using such words? And you sit down quietly as if you're a very nice person. And we look at you and we know that you are. And if somebody had not come to report, our mind about this person has been this. But somebody had to come and say that, hey, this guy, the way his mind is working, be careful. Oh, nale cool. Oh, nale means you are seeing him cool. But he is not. Yeah. Notice that Paul did not have a word of knowledge about the extent of immorality going on in the church. Someone reported it to him. A good and loyal structure works by faithful people. You can write it down. A good and a loyal structure works by faithful people who inform the top about anything that is out of order. If you see something out of order, you got to report it. I say you got to report it. Otherwise, you are also an accomplice. You are sitting down and not saying anything. You know about it. You knew about it. And you just sat there watching as things went on and you never said anything. Hey, you are as dangerous as the one saying it. I said you are as dangerous as the one saying it. And we cannot be in the church with you. Very dangerous. Observe how another family reported to Paul about some happenings in the church. And this report did not even come from the pastor, but from an ordinary church member called Chloe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. It said, for it has been declared unto me, the house of Chloe, that there are contentions. Contentions. Hey, there are things that are going on. So many contentions. As you see them around, there are a lot of things going on. People are having issues in the church. Yeah. Yeah. That time a pastor was going to marry a lady. The lady had HIV. And did not say anything. She herself didn't mention anything. And then they had to marry. And I think they went for this medical tests. And fortunately, there was somebody who got to know. You know. But the thing was there. I mean, it was. And then the pastor announcements were going on. But Charlie, this person said, I cannot keep quiet about this thing. But this lady. So it came up. Charlie, do you have this thing? Said, oh. Yes, I used to. But I went for this prophetic meeting. And the man of God prayed for me. So I believe I've been healed. Hey, Charlie, as they checked, lo and behold, the thing was there, positive. Hey, the pastor was almost going to die. But somebody had to release that information. Hey, you may never know that that information may save somebody's life. That thing that you are giving will help somebody. I pray that we are going to be fully persuaded. Amen. I pray that we are going to have a deeper understanding of loyalty. That our loyalty will be to the higher authority. And I pray that any information that we have, we are going to take up the information to the top. So that whatever has to be done will be done. Yeah. Sometimes you see that after people have left, then you see people coming up. Oh, I knew it. Oh, he said, well, why didn't you say it all this while? And the person has been brought into a high place. But if we had known earlier, we would have stopped this thing before it came up. You are waiting till the last minute and it's too late. Now that you are coming to tell us, what do you want us to do? You are rather the enemy. May the Lord deliver us from disloyalty. Stand to your feet.